I love your pastor. I'm glad God sent you a good man of God with the track record that was right here at this church for all many years and past days. The Lord showed you great kindness. So many times after a long tenure and a great man's service, it seems as though a wrecking ball hits a place. But God showed you mercy. And blessed you again to bring you together, you and a pastor that loves you. He speaks so highly of you. He's honored to be here, and you're honored to be with him, apparently. And I tell you, when there's that kind of unity, you can see God do some great, great things. And as your children continue to grow up in this place, God will continue to help them to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, forever alter their life and change their eternity. What a beautiful thing. And I'm grateful for God doing that for you here. I'm glad God has kept you here as a strong witness in this area for so many, many years. As for me and my wife and three of my granddaughters tonight, these are the three oldest. Faith is the firstborn. Some say she's my favorite. I have said that. But normally it's just when we're by ourselves that I make mention of that. But she is the firstborn. Anna is the next. Anna's such a sweet spirit. And then there's Hope. And we're still having hope for Hope. I love them dearly. I don't know how it is round about your house, but at least a couple of times a year, usually around Thanksgiving and Christmas, everybody will gather in at Mama's and Papa's. And when that happens, there are weeks that precede that my heart is just panting for the moment that I see him pull in the driveway. Our son and his family are 6 hours away. Seems as though those grandbabies grow a foot every time I see them. And when we all gather in, it's just such a great joy to my heart. I have anticipation of those moments. And then we spend a few days together, and it usually seems as though it's only a few moments. And before I know it, I see the taillights heading out the driveway, and my wife and I stand there, and we wave goodbye, and tears would course our cheeks. I had great anticipation about this week. I've enjoyed being with you. And now we come, as the pastor said, to the closing night. And I do get a little more emotional in these days. Billy Kelly told me years ago, he said, you'll find yourself getting more sentimental as you get older. I'll leave tonight with a bit of sadness of heart, but so thankful for the time God's given us. And so thank you for your kindness, your prayers, and your love for me. Psalm 68. Tonight, in closing out my part of whatever God may do during these days and then in the days hereafter, I want to leave you with one verse that has meant so much to me. The Lord, many, many years ago, dealt with my heart concerning this one verse. It altered some things in my life, helped me to see my Lord in a way that I'd never really seen him before. I've begged him to do the same for others tonight. So look with me, if you would, at verse number 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah. Only one verse, but a lot to pause and think about when we get to the seal of this verse. I want you to notice the way that it begins. Blessed be the Lord. I believe I'm correct in this, that there is an outbreaking of praise toward the God of the psalmist's salvation. It's as though in a moment he's unable to restrain himself. His mind and his heart is attached to the glory of his God in such a definite way in that moment, to where no doubt he cries out, "Blessed be the Lord." And then he begins to rehearse the benefits that comes from his great benefactor. And he thinks about many, no doubt manifold things that God has done for him in his life. And every time that he ponders one of those, it jumps out at him in such a fashion to where he wants to cry out again, "Blessed be the Lord." So I'm certain his heart is filled with praise. So I do not want to take anything at all from the correct interpretation here of the text. But I do want to maybe open our eyes tonight to a little different aspect. He's speaking now about his God, that it has been his experience that his God has given him many benefits, blessed him in many, many ways. And while he is thinking about those things, he's noticed, apparently, that the God who blesses him with many things appears to really enjoy it. Blessed, or if you will, happy, exceedingly joyful, be the Lord who blesses us with benefits. I just wanted to make that announcement tonight in the face of any devil who has ever uttered to all of us that God doesn't love you, doesn't care about you, that maybe the Lord doesn't know your address. Maybe you've gone through some difficult waters and the devil has crept up beside you, whispered in your ear that God doesn't really enjoy being good to you. You saw him be good to your preacher. You saw him be good to your fellow church member. But you hadn't sensed that he's been real good to you in a little while. And the devil wants to come in and try to cause doubt in your heart. I'm telling you that the God who was kind enough to become the God of our salvation loves to give benefits to his children. In fact, he proved that in the initial act. If he is the God of salvation, he gave you the greatest thing that he could have ever given you in giving us the Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life. He rejoices in that. In fact, it thrilled the heart of God to save, oh, wretched sinners that we were. Amen. Thanks be to God for that. And then every day since, he's blessed you with certain things, not because you deserve them. I've never deserved one of the great benefits of God, but simply because it thrills the heart of God to be good to the likes of me. I'll never understand that. It never has made sense, but I sure enjoy the reality of it. Tonight, I want to make the announcement that the devil has lied to me 1,000 times. I'm certain he has to you as well. The God of heaven who saved you will never grow weary of being good to you. He's on your side tonight. Many times when your circumstances cry out something else, please remember He gave you the jewel of heaven. He gave you Himself. That precious blood was given just for you. He has proven His love and His care for you. And I'm glad tonight that my God smiles every time that He moves in my direction with a little kind favor, a morsel of kindness from a great God. Blessed be the Lord. Then notice who daily loadeth us with benefits. I made mention of this just a moment ago. Let me do it again. Benefits are never greater than the benefactor. It's always important to put things in context. If you're going to be thrilled about someone who's going to give you benefits, it's good if you know something about who it is that's giving them to you. There's not a greater benefactor than the God of heaven. The God who created all things and in whom all things sustain is the God who is capable of fulfilling all that's needed in our lives. The storehouse of heaven has never been lacking. The benefactor is God Almighty. Now tonight, if we were to maybe get personally close after this meeting, and I were to say to you when I shake your hand or fist bump you, whatever we do, and I say to you, now you really have brought joy to my heart this week. I've enjoyed being with you. It seems like the Lord's put it on my heart. I want to give you my personal card, and it has my cell phone number on it. Should you ever need anything, I'd like for you to just ring my phone. Well, you may take that card and put it in a special place. You may leave tonight and feel pretty good about that. But if you saw my bank account, you may change your mind and not be all that excited. But if tonight Donald J. Trump were to walk in this service, it wouldn't disrupt the way we worship. We would just continue right on. And maybe he would mill around a little bit and get to know somebody in here. And maybe he would say to you after service, you know, I kind of like you. I want to give you my personal card. My cell phone number's on here. Should you ever have any need whatsoever, you just give me a call. Now, I'm going to tell you, you'd have to break my arm to get my personal card with his cell phone number on it, because the benefactor is a billionaire then. Makes all the difference in the world. God Almighty's your benefactor. He has it all tonight. Never been lacking. And he gives you his personal card tonight. He lets you know that he loves you. He gives us benefits. I think sometimes when I think about the benefits God's blessed me with, I have to consider the negatives in my life, so that I can understand the positives. I'm glad I can say tonight I'm not begging for bread. Truth is, I've never had to beg for bread. I'm probably preaching to some people who are in the same shape. God Almighty's been good to you. I've gone by some beggars. I've seen some beggars here in America. I've seen many beggars on the streets in Israel and other countries. I'm just telling you,
seems to me that it's a real humbling thing to end up having to stand with a sign and beg. And I know we can all understand that many times people choose a certain lifestyle and do certain things of that nature. But I can stand and declare tonight that because of the kindness of my God, I've never had to beg for bread. I started preaching in 1979, got saved in 1970. I've spent my adult life roaming around with a copy of the Word of God, preaching here and preaching there, and God has just fed me. Fed me, clothed me, put me on down the road. I'm telling you, He's a great God. When depressions hit, when financial adversities come, I've never been reduced to have to beg for bread. God's been good to me. But better than that, I'm not bound by sin. There was a time when I was bound by sin. I was a reckless, renegade, angry teenager. And God Almighty, for whatever the reason, in a little evening church service, my adopted dad was faithful to open the Bible and preach. And I was always ashamed of him and ashamed of that little congregation. We were sitting in a little building that was a block building and never had gone up to the next level. We were meeting in the basement. Wow. I'm sitting in there on a little pew that'll pinch you. And probably no more than 20, 25 people. I had laughed off every service that I'd ever been in. I thought church was for old women who were broken down and little children wanting to go to Bible school. I thought it had nothing for me. And all of a sudden, without any invitation, God the Holy Ghost stepped right up in my face, and like Nathan of old, he laid his finger right in my face and said, "Thou art the man." My mother tried to tell me I was a sinner. I didn't believe her. My adopted daddy tried to tell me I was a sinner. I didn't believe him. My little granny tried to tell me I was a sinner. I thought I was a pretty good boy. But when God Almighty laid his finger on me, gave me the benefit of old-fashioned conviction. Thank God for that benefit. He convinced me in a moment that I was a sinner. He convinced me in a moment that hell was my destiny. Glory be to God for Him being so kind to show me that. And then when I bowed and I just turned toward Jesus in repentance, turning away from my sin, He gave me the benefit of salvation, regeneration, new birth. I knew something really big happened. Didn't know how to define it, but He gave me a great benefit of salvation. And then gave me the great benefit of sanctification. I mean, set me out of the family of my father, the devil, and brought me into the family of God, and began that progressive work even of sanctification. I'm more different today from that early days than I've ever been. Seems like He just put me on a trail to keep getting me further and away from all of that. Hallelujah. What great benefits. Gave me the benefit of preservation. It's not just the book that's been preserved. He sealed me till the day of redemption. I'm glad I know I've been blessed with eternal life. I cannot die. I cannot go to hell. There's not a devil that can carry me to hell because of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what great benefits. You know, we could go on and on. The benefit of no longer being bound by sin. Thank God, I'm glad I'm not burning in hell tonight. What a great benefit. Been so blessed because I should have been in hell. My sweet little grandmother would set me down over in Wilkes County. And I'm telling you, it was just a rowdy, ruffian household. My grandfather made liquor, run liquor, all in Wilkes County out there around Roaring River. And he'd take me down there to the steel. I'll never forget one day when he was bringing me out and got right out of the wood line. And my little granny evidently spotted us. She knew where he had carried me. I'd never saw her do this before. She come running down across that yard. I heard that old screen door slam behind her and pop a few times. She crawled right up in Gramps' face. And that was a hard thing to do. He was a large man. She was a little bitty woman, maybe 100 pounds soaking wet, like a little banty though. She crawled right up in his chest and she said, "Garland, you've carried my boys and everybody else around here down to that steel, and you're carrying them to hell with you." And she reached and grabbed me and almost jerked my arm out of the socket. She whipped me around there behind her. She said, "I've claimed this one for Jesus." She drugged me back up that dusty yard, pushed me down on old couch that was about to fall apart, because every drunkard's home is a poor home. She went and brought in there the largest Bible I'd ever seen. Looked like a piece of Samsonite luggage. Draped that thing in my lap and began to preach to me. She taught me John 3:16. She said to me, she said, "Tony, your circumstances don't reflect it. I know your father's gone." Said he's out there chasing the night lights and another drink. "And I know it hurts." But she said, "Listen, Bible says God loves you." And she said it with such conviction that I began to believe it. But I didn't want to do anything about it. And so I was going my own way, hard-headed as I could be. Granny had tried to tell me I was a sinner. And I loved Granny. My mama had tried to tell me. My adopted daddy had tried to tell me. I didn't believe it from anyone except the Holy Ghost. Thanks be to God. He saved me, kept me out of hell. I don't have to go to hell. I should have been in hell. I made my little mama cry when she'd hear me curse. And when I'd act like I was some kind of attorney trying to argue the Bible with her. But thanks be to God, when he saved me, I hugged my mama's neck. I said, "You were right, mama, you were right." I should have burned in hell, but I'll never burn in hell. What a great benefit. Amen. Thanks be to God. Who daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily loadeth us with benefits. Now when you just read that fast, it doesn't really grab hold of us like it's really all that grand. You have to give a little thought to it. Daily. 365 days in a year.
I've been saved now a little over 50 years. A little over 50 years. Somewhere in the neighborhood, a little more than 18,250 days. The Lord has come to me every day with new and fresh benefits. After 18,250 trips, and he's never balked. That's amazing to me. And some would say, well, that's not that large. That's not that big. Well, I beg to differ with you. Brother Steve Smith sitting right over here, Brother Steve, seemed like when I was here one time before, seemed like the Lord kind of put our hearts together a little bit. Every now and then I'll get a little text from him. He says, I'm still praying for you. Boy, I appreciate that. So I guess I like him. I don't know him all that well. Maybe if I knew him better, but I kind of like him now. Now, I'm going to leave from here tonight. I'm going to head to Fountain Inn. That's where God's allowed us to have a little home. In the morning, about 6 o'clock, if my doorbell rings in the morning about 6 o'clock, and I slip in there and have my pistol down here, you know, it's a little early. And I'm looking through the side lights, and lo and behold, there's Brother Steve Smith. And I say, whoa, well, my goodness, brother. I lay my pistol out of sight. I open the door right fast. I say, brother, good morning, good morning, good to see you. I can tell he's a little pale. He seems like he's a little sheepish about being there. I say, brother, come on in. Come in, sit down over here in the living room. Let's get on in here and sit down. And in fact, take my chair. And he comes in, he sits down, he kind of works himself back in that recliner, and we just chit-chat just a little bit, and finally he gets to it. And he says to me, Brother Finney, I sure hate to make this trip. I'm embarrassed by it, but I'm hurting. I don't really know who else to go to. I don't have any money. I have some bills that are due. I hate to tell you this, but I don't even really have any food at the house. I'm telling you, he gets about halfway through that. God knows this is true. Well, I'm starting to well up with tears. I said, oh, brother Steve, no. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. I didn't know. If I'd have known, you'd have never had to come here. And so I holler, Lynn, get a couple of boxes and go in there in that cupboard and get some groceries out of there. And I said, Brother Steve, you sit right here. You sit right here a minute, because I'm going back to my room. I'm going back where I have some stash. I'm going to dig pretty deep in my stash, because this is one of those unusual moments. And I'm going to get down in there, and I'm going to bring out a substantial amount if God has it there. And I'll come in there, and I'll slip it to him, and I'll say, Brother, I'm so sorry to hear about this. Let me help you load these groceries. We're going to load those groceries up. I'm going to hug his neck, and I'm going to have a word of prayer with him. I'm going to beg God to stretch that money, stretch that food, give him more, help him in his need. And I'm going to stand there like he's a family member when he goes out the driveway. And I'm going to say, love you, brother. And I'm praying for you. Now that's Friday morning. Saturday morning.
Listen now.
6 o'clock rolls around.
He's preaching.
My doorbell goes ding dong.
He's preaching.
I slip in there. I look out the side lights.
Uh-oh.
Hey, it's Brother Steve. Oh. Okay. Now let me get over here. I unlocked the door. Okay. I opened it up a little bit. I said, good morning, brother. And he says, hey, Brother Finney, how you doing? Almost the same way. And I say, come on in, brother, come on in. Sit down right over here. I'm going to sit in my chair. And he starts telling me, I'm hearing the same story again. And you know, I can't help it.
You're telling it right.
I'm thinking,
you're telling it right.
What went with yesterday? Yeah. You know, what? But I'm not going to open my mouth yet. No. Lynn, go in there and check the cupboard. And get one of those little Bilo bags. You know, yesterday it was boxes. And Brother Steve, I hate to hear this. And I'm getting in my wallet now, and it's just kind of in the normal compartment.
Oh my.
And I hand him a little bit.
Yeah.
We all walk out to the car, have a word of prayer with him. Bye, brother. Love you. Love you. Now, Sunday morning rolls around.
Uh-oh.
6 o'clock. Ding dong.
You're preaching,
Doc. I slip in there and I...
Yeah.
Look at there, it's Brother Steve. I'm thinking about using this morning. But I resist, and I slide it over in his place, and I crack the door about like that. I say, good morning, brother. He said, morning, preacher. And so I open the door, and I slip out onto the porch with him. I say, sit down out here in one of these chairs. Let's sit down out here. He starts with the same story. With the same story. I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to absorb all of this. We're only on the third day. We're only on the third day, and I'm getting ready to pull a little counseling session out of my pocket. I'm getting ready to try to figure out what's draining this man and what the problem is. Why in the world is he needing to come see me every day? We're only on the third day. And I'm trying to tell you tonight that over 18,250 mornings, God Almighty has had to endure me being empty without nothing but a beggar, and he's been faithful to come with benefits every day. He's never balked, he's never examined me, he's never rebuked me. Glory! What a great God! And he just keeps moving in my direction. Keeps moving in my direction. And this morning, I was just as empty and needy this morning as I've ever been. And he faithfully showed up again today. Thank you, my Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Who daily loadeth us with benefits.
Amen.
You know what really condemns my heart is that on many of those mornings, he's been faithful to meet my need, and he had to walk right through my complaining. Right through my complaining spirit. And loved me anyway. And met my needs anyway. What a great God. What a great God. He has had to come some mornings when I'm telling you I was a foul spirit. And I have never, ever, ever been able to run him off. Daily, he's brought benefits in my direction.
Hallelujah. Wow.
daily loadeth us. The word loadeth is so important. It holds the connotation that we're talking about extreme measure. We're talking about large loading, intense loading. We're not talking about loading a load of feathers. This word indicates that it's strenuous action. If you go to a trucking terminal, they've designed everything there to where they can bring that 18-wheeler in, back it up to where it'll level up with that dock. They can take their heavy equipment, roll in there, unload that thing, bring it out, never break a sweat. But if this church decides that you've sat on these pews long enough and that you need new pews, you didn't build a loading dock here. It's going to take some real effort and manpower to muscle each individual pew out of here and then muscle individual pews off of a truck and in here to get the job done. What the psalmist is saying here is that my needs have been so great, so large. He said, God's come into my world on some days when man couldn't have moved it. God stepped into my world some mornings when the whole church couldn't have lifted it. But he said, God came in, flexed his great muscles, and took care of that load that day for me. Hallelujah. And might I remind you that God's never had to break a sweat. But nonetheless, what God's saying to me here is, I'm willing to make the heavy lift just for you. Just for you. Just for you. Wonder how difficult it would have been today for Baptist churches to keep the devil off of you.
Oh, Lord, listen, listen, listen.
Wonder how large an exercise it was this morning.
Oh, Lord, preacher.
You think all the Baptist preachers gathered together could have kept the devil off of you today? I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven who will do what no one else can do. He loadeth on your behalf. And then probably the greatest beauty of the text: blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. A casual reading of the text would cause us to envision what I gave to you earlier as an illustration with Brother Steve, that the Lord in his kindness has loaded us up daily with those things we needed. God loaded you up daily with sufficient amount of money to pay your power bill. Loaded you up daily with sufficient health and strength to make it through the day. Loaded you up daily with sufficient provisions to keep you alive through the day. And on it goes. But the text is far more particular than that. The text says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us up.
I'm listening. I'm getting it, Doc.
When we were much younger, my wife and I, God blessed us with a son. He's in heaven now. His little body is buried in a short grave over here in North Carolina, around Walnut Cove area outside of Winston-Salem. Then God blessed us with a daughter. She's the mother of these young ladies back here. And we're so thankful for the daughter God blessed us with. But now she doesn't like spiders. She doesn't like birds. She doesn't like snakes. She doesn't like thorns. She doesn't like anything outside. She's a princess. Then God blessed us with Joshua, my son. My son loves the outdoors, always has. When he was a little boy, he was always, "Daddy, can we go here? Can we go there?" And it always had something to do with the woods or a river or a lake, somewhere out there in the wild. I wasn't familiar with the wild, but I made him think I was, because I wanted to be his hero. Amen. And so in those days, I was able to fake it. He didn't know any better. And I'd say, "Son, we're going to go take a little hike today." And we'd go out. I'd find a little patch of woods somewhere. We'd start hiking. He'd love going through there. He'd ask 1,000 questions. I guarantee you I've given him 999 wrong answers. But he never knew it. Till he got grown, he never knew it. And we'd just walk along. I'd lead the way. Every now and then I'd look back and I'd watch him. He'd be trying to make every step I made. He wanted to do it just like I did it. He wanted to walk just like me. He wanted to go everywhere I went. But I'd notice him in those early days that his legs were so much shorter, he'd have to make 2 to 3 steps to mine. Every now and then I'd hear a little something back there and I'd turn around. He's tripped over a root. Now, I don't know how you reared your son, but I never let him trip over a root and turn around and say, "Hey, stupid boy, get up." That wasn't me. I'd run back there to him. I'd dust him off a little bit and I'd say, "Son, you all right?" "Oh, he'd get up from there." "I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine." I said, "Okay. You ready to go on?" "Yeah, let's go on, let's go on." And here we'd go. We'd keep going. In a little bit, he's getting further and further behind me. He's getting tired, weary. But he doesn't want to admit it yet. But a little ways further, he'll finally get to the point to where he'll say, "Daddy, Daddy." And I'd turn around, I'd look at him. I'd say, "What you need, son?" He'd say, "Daddy, I don't believe I can go on. I don't believe I can go on." Now, I never slapped him down. I never told him, "Man, if you're going to be a real man, you're going to have to get at it, big boy." No, I'd walk back there to him. And I'd, in those days, he had like a little blonde hair. It turned brown as he got older. And now it's turning gray like mine. I'd rub his little head. I'd say, "Son, I love you. You know what to do, don't you?" He'd say, "Yeah, I know what to do." He'd done it before. He'd turn around. When he'd turn around, I'd reach up under his armpits and I'd load him up right up on my shoulders. I'd say, "All right, son." He'd bring his little arms in those days, his little hands right around my neck. I'd reach up with one hand. I'd secure him right there. And I could feel his little body relaxing. Everything's all right. I gave him the benefit of securing him. I loaded him up with benefits. I'd give him that benefit of securing him. We'd walk on down that path. In a little bit, I'm thinking, "This is going to be fun because there's a low-lying limb up here." And I just keep walking like I don't even see that thing. And I feel him tensing up. And I get right there to that limb and I give him another benefit. Amen. I get on down to that limb and come out on the other side of it and I feel him relax again. In a little ways down that path, I knew where we were going to be that day. So I've already prepared, and I reach in my pocket, and I've got that little hard candy in there. I take it out of the cellophane in my pocket, and I bring another little benefit up here. I was never able to see him, but I could always envision him like one of those little birds in the nest, just going after it. And in a little bit, I'd know when he found it. And I'd even know when it was getting good because I could feel it right here. And I'd give him those benefits after I loaded him up. I mentioned to you earlier that I was just a little hippie teenager when God saved me. That night was so wonderful. I thought I was going to float out of here. I couldn't believe how clean I felt, how forgiven, how wonderful. It seemed like God Almighty squeezed me special that night. And the very thoughts I had in those early moments was, Jesus, wherever you go, I want to walk just like you. I want to be like you. I couldn't even envision that it'd never be a day when I wasn't able to walk just like him. I'd say, Lord, wherever you go, what an adventure. I'll just follow you and I'm going to walk like you. I'm going to be like you. And I'd stumble. I've fallen on my face so many times. I've laid in the dirt of the path. And I've said, oh, I wish I could be like you. I wanted to please you so badly. I wanted to please you. And I'd feel so ashamed. So much a failure. I'd lay there on my face. Every time. Every time. In all of these years, every time. He's never turned around and stomped on me. Never turned around and slapped me. He'd always come back. Seems like he's always placed his sweet hand on my head and said, I understand your frame. I know your frame. I love you. I knew who you were when I saved you, son. Turn around. And I turn around and he'll get up under me. And I'm telling you, he's carried me day after day after day after day after day after day. And many times what he's felt have been my tears, because I thought, how in the world could the God of heaven be this good to me? In all the failures I've been, all those times when I wanted to serve him so, all the times when I fell to the different temptations of the devil. Maybe on those days when I should have loved him most, I just didn't love him like I should have. Maybe I didn't keep my heart close to him like I should have that day. And I felt the crushingness of that. And instead of him just flailing on me, he loads me up. And dear child of God, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe this with all my heart. I don't know if God will ever let me look back over the path of life. But if I can ever see it to where it's really been, I believe he will have carried me all the way from this rugged terrain all the way to that place called heaven. Daily he loadeth us up with benefits along the way. Glory to God. If you're here tonight and you're saved, afresh and anew, afresh and anew, you ought to say, dear God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you tonight for coming to me every day for all these years. For your faithfulness, for never balking. Amen. Thank you for loving me when I didn't deserve to be loved. Amen. Thank you. And then, Lord, could you please help me to trust you as I ought to? If you have come to me every morning for over 18,250 days, pray tell me, dear God, why would I ever think that you'd miss a day? Help me, my Lord, to trust you as ought. Help me to trust you as ought to. When this old world clamors, when they talk about everything falling apart, when they try to scare us to death, help me to trust you, my God. And then if you're here tonight, if you're still in this meeting and you've never been born again, oh, how my heart goes out to you. I'm telling you, life's a rugged path. It's eaten up better than you. It'll be devastating to you. It'll bruise you and batter you. It'll carry you all the way down like the prodigal into the pig pen of this world. There's a God in heaven who loves you. There's a God in heaven who gave Jesus for you. There's a God in heaven who desires for you to turn tonight from your unbelief and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And enjoy the kind of God and Father, Abba, Papa, that loads you up every day. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Please stand tonight. I'm through preaching. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Tonight, whatever the musicians have, whatever, Brother Brian, whatever you have tonight in the way of an invitation song, my Heavenly Father, oh, dear great God of heaven, how words fail me tonight. I'm glad I know that thou art the one true and living God. You've proven yourself to me so many times. Thank you, Lord, for loading up and moving those things that the entire church could not have moved in my life. The population of the earth could not have touched it. But you have, you have. And I bless your holy name. Dear God, there's no earthly reason as to why you'd love me the way you do. But I want to say to you tonight, thank you. Help me to trust you as I ought. Lord, help me to love you as you ought to be loved. Help that poor sinner tonight to come to Jesus. Oh, dear God, I beg you. Please save them for Jesus' sake. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. What number, my brother?
God is so good.
God is so good. Let's sing it. Altars are open tonight. Dear Christian, do you need to talk with him? Do you need to just slip to the Father tonight with a little heart of gratitude and a desire to trust him more?
God is so good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
God is so good.
Yes, my Lord.
God is so good. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so.
Yeah. Thank you, my Lord.
He loves me so.
So unworthy.
He's so good to me. God.
Dear sinner friend, the altars are warmed up tonight. Don't miss the moment. Get to Jesus, please. Get to Jesus. He'll be the dearest friend you've ever had. He'll forgive you tonight, save you, give you eternal life.
He saved my soul. He so good to me.
Yes.
God is so good.
Oh, dear God. Help us, Lord.
God is so good. God is so good.
Yes, yes.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He's so good to me. Do he answers prayer? He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to He loves me so. He loves me so. He
what benefits?
Loves me so.
What benefits?
He's so good to me.
Won't you back up to him?
God is so.
Let him lift
good.
You. Let him help you.
God.
Oh yes.
Is so good. God
oh, yeah.
is so good. He's so good to me. He's coming soon. Yes, I know he's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just going to mind the Lord best I can right here. You know, every now and then you might have an opportunity to change some kind of policies or whatever. But if you go to examining things, all the benefits are not the same. I want to tell you, there's no better benefactor than our Lord. No one with greater benefits than him. I won't stick with him. I won't stay with him. Sing it, Brother Jason.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. I'd rather.
Why would you desire other benefits when you have him?
Than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be.
I'd
rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than me.
Benefactor, what benefits? One, by the way, is the good Holy Ghost coming along in meeting and lifting up the church, loading us up to go further down the road. My, what a message. My, what truth. You'll never read that verse again the same way. You'll never pass by that the same way again. And that's just Bible preaching. That's not preaching about the Bible. That's Bible preaching. Hallelujah. Bless His good name. I'm thankful for all the Lord has done, seen and unseen in these days. I trust you'll be praying for Brother Tony. God keep His hand upon him and use him. We have prayed for weeks, yea, months. In fact, I think the first time I mentioned it was 69 days. How that played out when we mentioned service by service. God has answered our prayer. For we have asked God to direct this man specifically. And I believe he has obeyed the Lord. And the Lord has sure enough loaded us up. Hallelujah. Bless His good name. You speak to him. Visitors, we're glad to have you in service tonight. I remind you of the offering plates. And again, if you'd like any CDs or DVDs of the services, if you'd get that name and address on a piece of paper, whatever, and give it to Brother Brian. We'll be getting those copied and getting them to you. We'd certainly be happy to do that. We're going to replay this whole week again next week on the camp meeting hour. And I'm about tempted to play Tuesday night's message for about a month, day by day, amen. But I thank God for touching his man and his willingness to come. Father, again, thank you is inadequate. But thank you for being so good. Thank you for being our benefactor. Thank you for being our blesser. We praise you. We give you glory and give you honor for what you've done day by day, this meeting. Lord, what you've done in this service. We say hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy, righteous name. And in your name we pray. Amen and amen. I don't care whether you shake hands or not. Tell somebody glad to see him in the Lord's house. See you Sunday, good Lord willing, those of you from the church.